Welcome to Spaghetti Launchers, the world-building podcast. We throw spaghetti at the wall, and it is up to you what sticks. I'm Kyle.
I'm Ethan. On today's episode, we will be discussing forbidden magic. What magic in your world would be forbidden, Kyle, and why?
This voice is fascinating, and I'm here for it. It seems like the voice you're doing feels like a Harry Potter character.
Unintentionally, but it does add a little bit to the vibes now, doesn't it?
It feels like a Filch.
Yeah, a little bit.
But like the...
You got to stick the jaw out. That's how you get it.
I can tell. I can see your jaw is Habsburgian.
Distended, mate.
Yeah. Distended. All right. Well, moving on from the voice. Forbidden magic is, I think, standard protocol for most places that have a whole lot of spells when it's like a spell-based magic world rather than just a vibes-based magic world. Something like Lord of the Rings doesn't say forbidden magic because it's like a soft magic system.
I think it has a lot of like evil magic.
Evil is not the same as forbidden. I'm talking about like fair. Forbidden is right, where it's...
All right, I'll give you that.
There are spells that you could learn and thus we can forbid them. But if you can't learn it and you just kind of know it, or you just channel whatever the system of magic is, then it's a little bit... Yeah, like you can't forbid things as well because people can just stumble upon it on their own.
I see what you're saying. It's also a bit dependent on... The reason I like this conversation is because I think it's really... What we end up actually discussing is a culture's morals, mores, and values, right? You know, there's... I feel like the trope when we talk about magic that's forbidden is because it's quote-unquote evil. But evil is a relative term. It's culturally relative. In our world, evil necromancy is often seen as evil because most of the religions in the world are taught to venerate and respect the dead. And so necromancy is seen as a perversion of death, creating undead, or causing it, which we also think is bad.
Yeah.
But if you had a culture that... liked those things, you know, if you had a culture, for example, that prioritized labor efficiency, then suddenly creating undead becomes highly lucrative and probably very valuable as a skill.
When I was here,
it is the ultimate capitalist magic tree.
When I was coming up with my idea today, I spent a good amount of time at one point considering what would a guild try to forbid just for their own their own money's sake? We forbid any magic that makes things more efficient because we want to get the contract.
Yep.
And we forbid magic that could organize people better because we're union busting or whatever. That's not my idea.
But, no. But I could actually
you can go down that road.
I absolutely see a world where a evil corporation tries.
You used air quotes there for no reason whatsoever.
I could absolutely see an evil corporation hiring a bunch of necromancers to try and raise undead and raise zombies and use them to replace a labor force, and a labor force unionizing against it, or trying to, at least.
Yeah.
You know, it's a great AI allegory, actually, when you think about it.
Absolutely.
But it brings up sort of a conversation about, I always like thinking about it in real world, you know, in Harry Potter, the forbidden magic is always dark magic. And it, you know, involves like splitting the soul and causing harm and evil, you know, it's more vibes than anything else.
Though there's a funny thing in Hogwarts Legacy, which was a huge hit, but you learn the unforgivable curses and you cast them all over the place and no one ever cares.
Huh. Interesting.
Like, your fellow students will watch you cast them. The professors will see it. You cast them in a combat or something and no one cares.
Yeah.
You're not punished.
Interesting.
Well, okay. Well, a little immersion breaking.
Yeah. Sort of defeats the point of calling them unforgivable, but I get it.
Yeah.
It's just dark magic, right? Yeah. But in D&D, there are spells, you know, that create undead that do all of these, you know, evil things. But I was listening to a conversation Todd Talks, Todd Kenrick talking with Jim Davis of WebMD, and Todd starts
WebDM.
WebDM, damn it. Jim Davis of WebDM, and Todd starts talking about how if you pause and think about it, like Hold Person is actually one of the darker spells in D&D because you are just fully taking someone's physical autonomy away from them and leaving them conscious during it. So it got me thinking, like, we always attribute necromancy and this dark evilness to spells. What do you think actually is like the darkest spell in D&D? Because I have my answer, but I want to see where you got first.
My answer, I think, well, like, the whole person's a good shout. I think there's more intense spells than whole person.
Oh, there are.
That totally do the same thing.
Completely.
But I think this comes down to what... This will say a lot about my values as a person that you can probably attest to.
But that's why this is an interesting question.
Is, I think, Time Ravage is the most evil interesting spell.
Okay.
Which is a Matt Mercer original. Yeah, so yeah. Fuck you, Matt Mercer. You're evil. That's what
Twisted motherfucker.
Yeah. Because it's in the Wild Mountain Guide.
Right.
I don't know this spell.
What does it do?
It's basically that you will rapidly age to the point of death. And if you pass the save, you get to, you're like, it's like 30 days before your death or something like that. It's a ninth level spell, so it's very powerful, but
rough.
You basically just deprive someone of their entire natural life. Greater Restoration or a wish spell can undo it. Anything that fucks with time, like, you are robbing somebody of the most precious resource of their life, which is time.
Right.
That is finite. And just fast forwarding them to the end of their life instantly, oof.
It's worse than killing them.
Yeah.
Because just killing them outright.
Because then you're just leaving, you're killing their mental health.
Right.
You're like, remember the potential of a life you were going to have?
Yeah.
Nope. Now you're just going to die in like a week unless you find this thing, and you're probably not, because at that point you're a 90-year-old man.
Yep. It's interesting that you say killing your mental health, because that directly references for me what the worst spell is, which is Feeble Mind.
That was also on the top of my list. Yeah.
And I say this as someone who has...
Which basically just makes your intelligence or your charisma one. You just become...
Both of them become one.
I thought it was one.
I think it's both.
Either way, it's... Yeah. Any part of your brain basically becoming completely inept for a month.
Well, and I... For me, think, like, speaking candidly, both of my grandfathers have died from Parkinson's.
Mm.
And I see what happens when your brain sort of just starts shutting down like that.
Yeah.
And reading that, I was thinking about it.
It's also similar to like Alzheimer's or something.
Very similar.
Yeah.
But I started, I'm like, oh my God, this is
fucked up.
You've weaponized dementia.
Yeah.
Like, that's
a bunch of dicks.
Jesus. Like, what is wrong with you?
Jesus can't save you now.
And so I started thinking about that, and I had a very visceral reaction to it. You know, I went into it thinking, oh, haha, this will be funny. And then I started thinking, I'm like, oh, God, this is actually really fucked up.
Yeah.
It's an interesting exercise to think through. Again, it shows where you and I both, what do we attach, you know, value to and importance to.
Yeah. There you go.
Yeah. So, Kyle, give me your menu option for today's...
My three-word menu pasta, option.
Your three-word menu description.
Oops, all necromancy.
Oops, all necromancy. Okay.
All right, what's yours?
Today we are canceling the apocalypse.
The fuck? Okay. You're bringing out voices today. That's two so far.
Yeah, I'm in a mood. It was a very bad Idris Elba impression.
Is that who it was?
Yeah. Have you seen Pacific Rim? No, you haven't. So
yeah,
he says that. That's part of the... Moving on. Today we're canceling the apocalypse. Very simply, this is a world where... Over time, at some point in the past, nobody really necessarily quite remembers when, there was, I always like to think of the three main branches of magic being divine, arcane, and...
Judicial.
Funny. Executive. Executive magic.
Executive magic is...
It could be kind of fun, actually.
Judicial magic is also kind of good.
Actually, yeah. I was thinking about... So, you know, there's primal, like, natural world magic,
divine
and arcane.
Yeah.
And at some point in time in the past, the clerics and priests and oracles in this world started panicking because they realized that the signs of the upcoming apocalypse were starting to manifest. That had been predicted by the great sages of the past and in the sacred text. They warned of things that you will see that will start to occur in the world, you know, sort of like the point of the omen series, right?
There's an omen coming
all
over the place.
You know, they see a comet in the sky and then suddenly the seas boil and whatever. And the arcane and the primal mages gather together and realize this is all happening, they don't realize, they theorize that this is all happening because there is an overabundance of divine magic. They lead a culling of the priestly caste. Like, they wipe them out and they put a taboo on all divine magic in an attempt to avoid the apocalypse coming, because they think without the priestly caste that this will all stop. They're the ones engaging and messing with the divine beings. And if they just stop, then they will. And guess what? The apocalypse doesn't happen. Huh. And so now the taboo is just there in perpetuity.
Because it just assumes if you resume the magic,
then basically the gods will notice you again.
And the apocalypse is back on the menu.
The apocalypse will be back on the menu.
Yeah.
And so now there is a taboo on divine magic. And I like this because I think, number one, like, it's a cool way to think through, well, if this is a campaign setting, right, and you want to play a cleric, what does that look like for you? You know, maybe you're one of the, you know, or a divine soul sorcerer, if we're using D&D, you're born touched by the divine. Are you the bringer of the apocalypse? Or are you not? There's also a way of looking at it that maybe the culling of the priestly caste, they had just predicted their own apocalypse, their own end of days, and not for the rest of the world. And so it's a misinterpretation.
I like that. I think that's cool.
So we are canceling the apocalypse.
I think it's cool specifically because they were right. I think it's more boring if it's not, oh no, we need to keep this on the down low because it will come back. The gods have, like, the thing you said about the gods have, well, will, like, see us again. Like,
right.
The gods have now, like, no sense that you're there.
Right.
They somehow have a blinder that says, oh, nobody's here.
No, you're hiding. It's like, you're like Elmer Fudd, like, be very, very quiet. We're avoiding the apocalypse.
Because I'm assuming that it's also tying in with maybe removing religion, so there's not even a worship of these gods, so the gods can't have a sense that you were there.
I hadn't thought about that, but
if you're removing the clergy, that's a very natural extension. Yeah, that's kind of what you're doing.
Totally.
When you first said it, I was thinking this is a less violent approach, that the people, like the clergy who are seeing these signs, just put a moratorium on the magic themselves, so they stop seeing the signs.
Interesting.
So they just, like, willfully go ignorant and say, oh, nope, there's no apocalypse. We've seen nothing.
They just stopped having visions.
They stopped doing divining magic. They stopped trying to understand. They bury their heads in the sand and just stop using the magic.
Yeah.
And then no apocalypse comes. And even if it is, they don't know because now they're not paying attention. So no one actually has any sense of whether or not apocalypse is coming or not, because the people who are looking for it, like, banned the magic. It would be like
the dawn of anxiety.
It's like if you just destroyed any early warning systems of a nuclear war, and like in during the Cold War, you're like, we'll get rid of all of our radars and stuff and just live, see what happens.
You can't let fear control your life.
Yeah, they just kind of do that.
That's funny. You just wipe out all the Waffle Houses.
Wait, why?
Did you not know that? So FEMA actually, because Waffle House is adherent to the we're open 24/7 rule more than almost any other company or business.
Yeah.
They are very firm about it. They actually work with FEMA to act as sort of a gauge on storm severity or natural emergency severity. Because if it's severe enough to make Waffle House close.
Oh.
Then that tells FEMA something that, like, they need to know.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Huh.
Look it up. Waffle House FEMA. It's real.
Okay.
But so basically you're just wiping out Waffle Houses.
No, we stan a Waffle House.
We love a Waffle House.
I've only been to Waffle House like twice. It's
worth it.
Yeah. It's just like, they're not super accessible sometimes. Unless you live near one.
Yeah,
we don't live near one.
We don't, but it's.
We live near an IHOP.
I love them.
But I haven't been to IHOP ever. I want to go to IHOP.
I've been to IHOP. IHOP is the one place that did something that I didn't think was possible, and they fucked up a BLT.
Anyway,
now I want pancaked.
So back to the idea, the core idea. Does anybody, like, is there fallout amongst the people? Because if you just got rid of all of these priests and oracles and stuff, I assume other people, or adding in a potential option to, again, make it a little less violent. If it was more of removing their magic, like silencing them.
Sure.
Like they do that in Wheel of Time. There's a lot of drama built up around.
Oh, right. When they cut off the
weave. Right? Yeah.
Yeah.
When they cut you off and then you have to, like, and it kind of kills them from, like, their soul. Like, they become very boring and like they've lost part of themselves. But if you could do something like that, where you could just cut off these people from the magic and prevent them from doing it, I don't know.
So I like that idea. I don't know how, and this is something you might be able to help me out with. I don't know how to reconcile it with the three sources of magic, because I want them to be completely and wholly other.
Yeah.
So that they can't, like, they're yeah. That's the balance of power.
Yeah. Okay. Here's an idea. What if, so we have the arcane, the primal, and the divine.
Right.
The arcanes, they can, like, develop new magic. They have kind of the academic percent, or right, like, perspective. What if they develop some sort of, like, shielding?
Yeah.
Some sort of blocker?
Like the Divine Gate in,
yeah,
in Wildmount?
Yeah.
Going where, back to that?
Alexandria, I think, generally. But, yeah.
Alexandria,
yeah. Where they could essentially just throw up all these blockers into the sky that are invisible to the diviner, like the divine magic people, yeah, but which cut off any attempts of magic leaving this plane.
Hmm.
So that if, say, a god came to the plane, like came to Earth or whatever world, like material plane that place, yeah, this is, if they manifested, they could feel all the magic. But the second they leave, they don't feel any of it.
Interesting. Okay.
And these divine magic people don't necessarily even know. Maybe they do. I don't know. You could put out the politics of that. But the arcane people just threw them up there.
Yeah.
Maybe they worked with the primal people to help, like, weave it into the clouds.
I was
going to say,
I actually, this feels more primal to me, almost than our, this feels like a really great blending of the two, because,
yeah, like,
it's
they've collaborated.
They have absolutely collaborated, because it's the primal, it feels almost like defending against an extra dimensional threat, right? Like the Horizon Walker Ranger dealing with planes and portals and, yeah, that world.
Yeah.
Which I could feel, that feels, always felt very primal to me.
Yeah.
But then the artificers, you know, the real, the engineering of it,
yeah,
happens on the arcane side.
Yeah.
If you wanted to do that as a campaign setting, then there's a way to undo it.
Yeah.
Right.
And where you could have it where the party is all, they're all clerics who have to go undo this thing so they can actually become clerics, because, yeah, currently they're just fighters.
Yeah.
Who have cleric,
that's really fucking funny,
like, locked cleric abilities, that the second really they can, like, get out of this plane, they become super powerful, like, multi-class, really, where they're like, oh, like, you have,
they become a gestalt character where you're like a level 20 fighter and a level 1 cleric and you just start doing two full builds,
or like you are by default a level 10 cleric, but that's completely blocked away. So you, yeah, start the campaign as a level 1 fighter.
Right.
And the second, because you've been doing all these things that were very divine for years, you've developed all these skills and all this, like, understanding of this magic, but you can't use it anymore. So now you have to, like, learn how to just be a fighter.
Yeah.
And then you, like, level up through the campaign. And then eventually you just get, like, a 10 level power jump out of nowhere.
Could do that. I also like the idea, hearing you talk about it that way, like, it almost being something deliberate. What if it were something accidental, where you wizards and arcane magic are known for their hubris, right? What if your obsession with, you know, the ego and potential, what if basically whatever your ego got so big that it became faith? Like, what if people believed in Elon Musk so much that they actually started worshiping him?
I think some people already do.
I think they do. But it, then you created,
but Ethan, like,
divine.
He created, cars.
He did.
He created them.
He did. He also saved the planet from climate change, and restored free speech to the world.
And he provided internet for free to people for a limited time.
Yeah, and definitely didn't use it in geopolitical.
No, reason. And definitely didn't just get a bunch of people in the Amazon addicted to porn. No. Did you see that thing?
Yeah, I did. It was a wild story. Not surprised. It was one of those things where it was shocking, but not surprising.
Yeah, basically.
Is that a good distinction?
Yep, yeah, that's exactly what it is.
I was like, oh my God. Yeah, that makes sense. This is terrible and completely
human.
Fits within the bounds of rationality. But yeah, like what if you accidentally created an idol, like created a source of divinity?
Yeah.
And then you had to deal with that. Or similarly, what if someone worshipped nature so much
that it started crossing into divine magic?
Yeah. And it just sort of started manifesting as divinity again.
Which, depending on what solution you do, because say you do that in a world where the divine magic is cut off from like leaving this plane, mm-hmm. it's not really a big deal in that case. But say it's in a world where you've done the culling,
yeah,
and people start, and then divine magic gets reintroduced naturally through something like that from the primal people worshiping a mountain or something,
right, or a tree,
yeah, and then
Stumpy.
And then all of a sudden you have this weird dilemma because mm-hmm. you're the ones who culled previously. And now do you have to cull yourself or right. do you at that point just say, we will remove the tree. We will like, we'll just break have up, to have a, like
shut a, down the corporation.
Yeah. We just have to have a heart to heart amongst ourselves and just stop it. What happens? Or is it the arcane say, I'm sorry, what? Are you is that divine magic that we see over there? Yeah. Okay, well, we're coming for you now, bitches.
Disintegrate.
Yeah, and then just like, and then you have a war between those two factions. It could be very interesting depending on what the mechanic you're using.
Absolutely. It's one of the reasons why I actually take it. I think I have no problem with the mechanics of the wish spell belonging to wizards, but my issue is with the naming of the spell, the word wish. Like, the point of being a wizard is that your mind is the greatest, like, you have mastered all the vagaries of Arcanum. And now you're making a wish? Like, wish implies you are invoking a higher power.
And you're just leaning on faith or something.
Right. It should belong only to clerics or warlocks.
Really?
They should be the only ones who get wish.
This feels like a very Brennan Lee Mulligan roleplay moment where like... he's playing a wizard who like gets the opportunity to cash wish and says, I'll never cash wish. Only I
cash wish.
Only I won't cast wish. Like, I am the only one.
Oh, Abria would totally do that. Abria's Suvi would absolutely do that.
Yeah. It's like the ego of why would I cast that?
Exactly.
I'm better than that.
Exactly. Like, I think it like meteor. You should be casting wish much more sense.
For me to help you.
Right.
I'm the one that, you know, I'm the one who knocks.
That's right. That's right.
Yeah.
And so I just, like I said, the mechanics I think actually fit very well.
Yeah.
You've mastered the weave to an extent that you can just replicate anything else that you want at a moment's notice. It's just the naming of the spell.
And this concludes D&D talk for the day. This is a very D&D-centric conversation at the moment.
It is. But anyway, so yeah, like I said, today we have canceled the apocalypse.
All right.
Kyle, break down your menu for me. Oops, all necromancy.
I think you can probably guess what it's going to be about, which is that...
Fire magic.
All magic is forbidden except necromancy.
Interesting.
And that is because...
I like that. That's a good inversion because mostly it's one type of magic that's forbidden or one source of magic. This flips it. I love
it. Okay. Only one type is allowed.
Yeah, go.
And part of it is just because I wanted the name Oops All Necromancy. But part of it is...
Oops All Zombies.
Oops All Zombies. Oops City of Teeth. And I think it's stemming from a society where sanctity of life is... taken to its absolute fundamental like extent, which is do not fuck with life in any way.
Okay.
Which means don't use magic to improve it,
to worsen it,
to extend it, to change it in any way. Life will play out.
Okay.
But no one gives a fuck about the dead.
Oh, interesting.
So you can do whatever you want with magic, with necromancy, and it's not that it's like encouraged or widely spread, it's just not forbidden. So some people do it, some people don't, but it's mostly just nobody cares enough about that. Everybody's way more concerned with, are you messing with life? That's all we want to make sure is left as is.
You had me hooked. I was stuck for a moment when you said you cannot extend life.
Uh-huh.
And I was like, well, wait a second. That's often the goal of necromancers, right? Liches are trying to extend their own life through necromancy.
Yeah.
But you mean explicitly it is necromancy past the point of death that is allowed.
Yes. If you die by natural causes, sure.
Yeah.
Because whatever god they're worshiping is only concerned with the finite... Whatever god they're worshiping is only concerned with the finite, defined period of being born and dying.
Right.
Anything on either side of that, they don't care.
Right. There is no afterlife, or if there is, it's your soul, not your body. Your body's just a body. It's just skin and bones.
Yeah, and your soul...
Physical matter only.
And maybe it's that when you die, your soul is immediately gone, so any undeath is a reset. It is not your soul. It is a husk. And that's it. So we no longer care about it because your soul has fulfilled its journey and has gone to this god somewhere else. And the body, you know, it's taking the, like, I donate my body to science thing just a little bit further. But the thing is making sure that I have created an odd dynamic here where the best reason to use the necromancy would be to enhance your life.
Right.
And... finding, and maybe that's fine, maybe not. I don't know. I don't, because I kind of like keeping it very clear, like, no, you can't do that. Because maybe it could be that you use necromancy to raise armies and war is conducted through this.
Or to work.
I think that's what it should be.
Okay.
Because you do not want to create violence that would end people's lives, because that is changing lives, that is editing lives artificially. They should play out as they will play out. So
I like that.
So war should be conducted by raising armies of zombies, skeletons, whatever, and having the undead do it, because there's no loss of life in that situation. You play it out as a big game of usually whosever population is the best or whoever has the best.
Like if we replaced war with esports.
Yeah. Which, like, I'm cool with that.
Yeah. That's because you would be president of the world.
That's not true at all, but I would just be a very happy citizen in that world.
Tell me a little bit more about this faith that thinks life should not be altered in any way. And what does life look like in that space? Is it basically like, are you a cynic? And by cynic, I mean the true version of the word, like the philosophical version of rejecting all social norms, customs, and comforts.
I don't think you're rejecting anything if it isn't there to begin with.
And so, so that's what I'm saying is that people live there. There is no economy. There is no right. Like, because all these things, like the development of civilization developed to make life better.
Yeah. And this is an interesting question. Okay, so maybe it's more that I think my original thought was using specifically magic to change things.
Okay.
If you use technology,
right?
Then
it's okay.
Yeah, if you use nature, that's okay. If you use the bounties of the world that are provided to you through this god or gods, then it's fine. But if you use magic, you are inserting yourself into a cycle where you should only be a participant. It's like
you're exerting your will over reality.
It's like joining a Zoom call and you are a participant, but you've also all of a sudden you've become a presenter.
I got it.
And you are not allowed to be a presenter. You have to be a participant or an attendee.
You
cannot go beyond that. And if you are using magic within the circle of life, you're fucking with that. So like you're inserting. So you need to. You can use other means, so you can still build things and organize and, you know, learn medicine and basic stuff, but you can't be casting enchantments or transmuting things to make life easier.
So similar question to one that would happen in the world that I invented that we discussed, like, would magic users be quarantined somehow? you know, if you were born and discovered to be a magic wielder.
I don't.
Or is magic only taught? I mean, you can leave it up to the author, too. They can decide that.
Yeah, I think I'm not buying with it. Yeah, fuck it. I don't care.
Yeah. Oh, that's good.
Yeah, I think because it's, again, in the forbidding magic thing, it's because of how this world's working, you probably need to be going with a more, you can naturally develop it because there's no one's developing spells to cast fireball in a world like this.
Right.
Because it's off the table.
That makes sense.
It hasn't been for long enough. So maybe it's more that you can naturally develop that skill. And then that you can naturally develop it, but you can also help channel it and teach it. And they figure that out with necromancy. That like, oh, we can help teach people how to use this.
Yeah.
So we will encourage people who are magical to do this, to keep them away from using other things. Because they still have use for magic. They just have to only use it in this one way.
Right. Like, we don't need to control them. We need to focus redirect them and them. Unleash them.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Or if they're uncontrollable because they...
Another zombie.
Because they are a threat to the cycle.
Right.
So then they can be fucked with.
Right.
They can be cool. Because it's like in this world, like murder or, you know, is even worse.
Yeah.
Because
no, it's a similar conversation harkening back to our prisons episode about, you know, we mentioned... We were always talking about what is the point of jail? Is it punishment or reformation?
Mm-hmm.
This is similar to the death penalty. It's like, well, you're an argument about the death penalty. Well, you're going to kill somebody because they killed people.
Yeah.
Doesn't that make you just as bad? Like, but it's like, no, but they have done something so severe
or
that they cannot be permitted.
Yeah. Yeah. Like they have. In this case, it would be like, it would be that you have perverted the cycle and thus you've exited it.
Right.
You are no longer a part of the cycle, so we can end you consequence free.
That's actually kind of dark. You could...
Well, yeah.
But I like it because then it opens the door for if you are found guilty of perverting the cycle, as you say.
Mm-hmm.
You're called the Walking Dead. You're not dead yet, but you're called a zombie, right?
Yeah.
You know, literally dead man walking. Because suddenly you are as worthless as a corpse.
Yeah.
You are as lifeless as a corpse at that point.
Yeah. Also, just I want to quickly shout out the ridiculousness that in The Walking Dead, no one just calls them zombies. They all call them another word for a thing that... In the real, like, this isn't a world where zombie movies did exist prior to The Walking Dead, like the issue coming, like the zombie apocalypse happening. You guys knew zombies were a thing, but none of you could use that word. They all had to use dumbass other words like walkers and biteys and I don't fleshies.
It's the reason why so many of the best zombie movies end up being somewhat comedic because you have to be a little tongue-in-cheek about it.
Yeah.
They're like, oh shit, it's fucking zombies.
Yeah.
And
just call them zombies.
Just call them zombies. But to do that, you can't do that without it being meta.
Yeah.
In some way.
Yeah. Right?
That's why Zombieland was good. And there were still some scary moments in it, right? But it's like, you have to be able to say like, oh shit, are these slow zombies or fast zombies?
Yeah.
Fast zombies, fuck.
Yeah. But then you look at something like 28 Days, 28 Weeks.
Right.
They did a good job, but also because they're like, they're not technically zombies.
Yeah.
And they find a way to get around it to get to, it's the same
with The Last of Us.
Yeah. Which is, you know.
Yeah. But no, but it's, but to your point.
Yeah. It's like, oh, have a creature that's an apocalyptic analog to a zombie,
right?
And either call it a zombie or make it an analog and not a zombie,
and do just enough world building to explain it and then never bring it up again.
Exactly.
Awesome. I dig it.
All right, so a little bit microwavey.
I'm a little hungry. I think I might heat up some leftovers.
Okay.
What you got? 1 minute, go.
Very similar to what I just said, except now it is only combat spells are allowed. Because they want to know what magic is being used. So they don't want you to be using sneaky other magic.
Okay.
So if it's combat, it's open. It's like obvious. Everyone can see, oh, you are casting lightning bolts and throwing ice shards around and stuff. got it. We see the magic happening and we can sanction it and we can punish it if it gets out of hand. But we can't see if you enchanted somebody to do your bidding, or if you are sending messages as a spy, or if you are transforming yourself into a bird and going. That's the stuff that's too potentially nefarious, and we can't monitoring it. We can't monitor it well. So that's outlawed. But combat, that's fine.
That's fine.
Yeah.
Interesting. I dig that.
So cool. What do you got?
This is a... It's not a society. It is a clan of ninjas and assassins who...
Any zombies there?
No zombies. Who have put a complete taboo on any magic that generates light or sound.
Okay.
Because it goes again, it fucks with their, with them doing what they need to do. It draws attention to them. And it's not even about drawing attention to them. It's like, no, no, no. If you have to rely on this fireball or this lightning bolt to get shit done, then you have failed. Mm. Then you are not skilled enough.
Yeah.
And so that it, they moralize it a little bit. So only, you know, the quiet magic, they call it, is allowed.
Okay, cool. All right. Well, Ethan, what stuck for you today?
A lot. I'm never going to give up this rant. I will, this about Wish, that will just be a dying point for me for a long time.
I should just cut the whole thing out and leave only this in.
No, it's so good. I've been wanting to say it for so long. And we talk about the mail. I've been dying to talk about the mail. Number one, I like the idea that you did of forbidding all but one. I like that inversion. Mm-hmm. I think that's really fun. And I think you could use that technique to tell an interesting story or build an interesting world. Regardless, it doesn't have to be necromancy and only anything else, but like you could say, oh, we have banned all types of magic except fire magic.
Yeah.
Because this world is a frozen wasteland and all energy must be directed towards maintaining flames to keep us warm and alive.
That's pretty cool. Yeah.
Like that's pretty, but right. Like, but that's what I'm saying. Like you could, it's not about like, oh, lightning is bad or earth magic is bad. It's like, no, we need the fire to stay alive and we cannot waste any energy.
Yeah.
And so I think that's a really cool storytelling technique that you used. I like the, what we came around about, like the accidental divinity. coming from what if we accidentally deified or apotheosized Elon Musk?
we created a god again. Damn it. I thought we got rid of these.
But I think it's interesting because it also speaks to, again, putting my religion major hat on just for a very quick second. It does speak to religion and faith and worship being a baseline human activity.
Yeah. It'll happen.
It happens. It's part of society building. You can't separate the two. It's why defining religion is so hard.
Yeah.
So I thought those are probably the two things that stuck for me.
Cool.
What about you?
I think it's the... my brain just farted a little bit. I think it's the... The idea of, with the necromancy, making it so that it's just this like sacred cycle and out of it, we don't care.
Yeah.
And like, oh, you've been banished from this now.
You've been shunned basically.
And now your life is meaningless to everybody and to the God. Like
you don't exist.
We can kill you.
It's like if these people saw the world as, you know, normal, you know, full of light and color. It reminds me of that Black Mirror episode where someone can be shunned and they become static and appear as just sort of like this faceless void that, you know, and they can't speak. It's almost like you are removed. We don't recognize you as part of this reality anymore.
Yeah. But yeah, that's what stuck for me.
Nice.
Well, that's what stuck for us. Let us know what stuck for you.
Emails into show notes.
Thanks for listening. Goodbye.
Brev.